T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So Marcus Thompson on Twitter is what? At Marcus Thompson Scribe, I believe. We've always introduced him as a writer from the Bay Area News Group, a little bang, but now I think we got to give him his real new title. Author. Marcus Thompson joining us here on 95.7 The Game. His anticipated book, I believe, is available for pre-order right now. It is called Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry. Marcus, first of all, congratulations on finishing the book. I'm sure that's a labor of love that you're happy is over and done with. Tell me a little bit about it and tell me what you think is the best part of this book.
I would say the best part is going to be my name on the front. Let's go with that.
That's pretty cool. That's cool. That's you know what? You send one of those to the girls who didn't date you in high school and say, what'd you do with your life?
Right? I need that for the reunion, huh? Like, hey, look at me.
Absolutely. You should schedule your first book signing at the reunion.
Well, you know, it's really just a book chronicling Steph Curry's improbable rise to levels that no one actually saw. Like how it happened, what's behind it. Normally we see these guys coming a mile away. You know, we knew LeBron when he was 14. We knew Kobe at Lower Merion, you know, especially in this age, social media and relentless high school coverage, we know who the phenoms are before they get here. The Steph kind of came out of nowhere and just surpassed all expectations. So the book is kind of chronicling how he did that. And I think the best part is probably going to be the fallout after he did it and them losing and how he kind of lost favor and became a lightning rod for criticism. Like, that's probably the best part because it's really analyzing his phenom and the fallout from somebody coming out of nowhere and blowing up so big.
Yeah, the world turns on you quickly unless you meet all their expectations. And obviously with the 3-1 cough-up against the Cavs in the finals, it just left everyone who wanted to take a shot at the Warriors, the biggest bullseye in the world, to throw something at. But the truth is, like, this is a guy who is changing the way people think about basketball, changing the way people build basketball teams, not just changing the way, you know, kids go about playing in the playground. Like, he's part of the evolutionary story now of this league and is going to go down as a completely historical, significant figure. It's amazing where it came from and what it is now. It really is.
When you think about it, I know, like, we are prisoners of the moment, and when you blow a 3-1 lead, you should be criticized. When you don't play well, you should be criticized. But history will show how unique of a time this was, how crazy this all is, especially us in the Bay Area. I mean, it's still kind of head-spinning where the Warriors are and who they are. So history will look at this as the era Steph Curry went bananas, and we'll appreciate it more later, especially if he ends up winning another title. But it is really crazy to think that one little guy from Davidson kind of changed the whole trajectory of the Warriors and the NBA as well. So I think it is an incredible story, and it's one that won't get old anytime soon.
Marcus Thompson, you're really good at building relationships with guys. It's one of the things I've noticed about, you know, just as I watch people in the media go about their jobs, you connect with these guys in a way that I think allows them to open up to you freer than they would in other situations. I mean, just go back to bringing, you know, Harrison Barnes last year around your hometown. The thing that you and Courtney did, the video, I thought was really a very cool way to get to know somebody better. How much access did you have to Steph in his personal time? How much time in the off season did you spend with him, or did you sort of put this book together around him without his participation?
It was around him. It was without his participation. Steph was consumed, you know, with the playoffs and the finals and Aisha Curry's book. And it's kind of a tale from, you know, I've known him since he got drafted in 2009. So I've been there you know, the entire way. So it's more from that perspective. You know, I was able to interview him, obviously, over the course of the year. So, you know, I just know what questions to ask or how to spot things because I've been around him for so long. It's mostly based on my understanding of him and his family and his whole story and having been there since 2009. It really wasn't based on any new special access, even though, you know, as you well know, I can have a private conversation with Steph. Like he'll let me get in his ear a little bit off to the side when I need to.
Yeah, no, I've always noticed that about you guys, and I was wondering if that is what helped bring the book together, or if maybe, you know, when you know that someone's writing a book about you, maybe you don't act as naturally as you would around them if you didn't know that. So I'm wondering if you let him know that you were writing the book around him, or just told him at the end of it, like, hey, by the way, man, I wrote a book about you.
I wanted to do the latter, right? I wanted to just hand him the book and be like, hey, I just dug all in your life. Tell me what you think. But I didn't do that. I told him up front that I was writing it, and he knew I was writing it. And, you know, to his credit, he didn't change. You know, he didn't stop answering my questions or stop talking to me. I think he knows, like, how I get down. And I don't think he has anything to worry about. So that wasn't, you know, when people start shutting you down and stopping interviews and not talking to you, that generally means they have something to hide. So he was fine with it. You know, he answered the questions I asked. And a lot of the key stories come from the people around him, too, because, you know, I've talked to Steph for so long. He's not the most quotable athlete, you know. He can give you the vanilla answer. So I get some of the goods from other people and then go to him and ask him about the goods I got. So he was fine with it. He knew what was up. And I think part of him appreciates that it was me telling the story, as opposed to flying in somebody from New York or whatever who doesn't have the context of watching him since he got drafted in 2009.
Well, I wish you the very best of luck with it, Marcus, and I expect you to send an advance copy to the station so we can tell everyone how great it is, and then I can bring it in here, I can have you sign it for me, and then I'll put it on my shelf, and I'll pretend that I bought it, okay?
I'll let Courtney Cronin sign your copy.
Nice.
You guys have that Indiana Hoosiers love.
Yes,
you know.
We do. Yes, we do.
He really carries me, you know, so I'll let that happen.
Well, hey, man, I really do wish you the very best of the book. You know, since we're talking about Steph, there's no doubt he has decided to kind of hit the way back button just in the terms of way he's playing. He's been more aggressive. He's passing up distant shots to attack the rim. And it looks like either he had a conversation with himself or Steve Kerr had a conversation with him, or, you know, it just looks like there's another gear in Steph over these last few games we weren't seeing a handful of games ago.
It's without a doubt, right? It just looks like a different game. Like, even if you just took away the numbers that he had 30 in three of his last four games, if you just watch him play, he looks more like the old Steph. I think he's been hearing from a lot of people who know him, you need to be more aggressive, you need to be more aggressive, you need to be more aggressive. But Steph is one of those guys, he's so much more concerned about playing the right way and being the good guy and being, you know, humble and welcoming, you know, his teammates and having them see him in a good light. I think it always takes him to this point. I remember that Clipper series in 2014, and they're trapping him, and he's just giving the ball up, and it took them to get down 15 for Seth to say, all right, I got this. Like, let me take this. And they almost stole that series. It always takes a little something to get him to be, I guess, aggressive, because part of his mind sees it as it's selfish. You know, I think he wanted to welcome Durant. He wanted to appease Steve Kerr. He wanted to promote the flow of the offense. And I think he got lost in that, got out of rhythm, and found himself in a rut. And everybody noticed it. So I think now you see his steps like, all right, I'm going to be a little selfish and go for my shots and play my game instead of worrying about how everybody else is fit. And the crazy part is they're actually better when he's that way, because I still think, I know Kevin Durant is great. He's going to the Hall of Fame. I still think it all works if Steph is the axis, because he's the one who has the ball in his hands. He's a great passer, and he has all of these tools of the trade that makes everybody else work. When you let Durant go, Durant is great at getting his, but he doesn't make – he doesn't get Clay his shot. You know, he doesn't get Draymond Green his looks. Steph has the ability to get his and allow everybody else to eat off of him, and I think he has to be the actor, and I think he's kind of understanding that he has to play that way.
Marcus Thompson here on the Damon Bruce Show. Clay's going to be the first healthy scratch among the starters all season. What do you think of the move tonight? Miami feels like the right team to do it against.
Finally, right? Like, weren't we talking about this before? Like, where did they start resting, dudes? It's almost like they were saying, hey, we don't want to win 73. But secretly they were playing like they want to win 73, right?
Let's see how the math works out. Let's see how the math looks before the All-Star game. Let's just see.
Look, I think it's great. I think it's smart. If you can't beat the Heat without Clay, you got bigger problems anyway. You're at home. These guys need rest. And there's a lot of pressure on them. We saw against Memphis, they lose that game. It started spiraling, and you could watch them feel the pressure. They talked a lot about body language and how they didn't respond the right way. You could see the weight of the world on their backs for one game. I think it's time to, like, I think Steve needs to take some of that pressure off of them, allow them to get their chemistry together, and you do that by sitting guys out. Let them know, look, man, this is not the end of the world. We lost to Memphis. Memphis played perfect. We didn't. It's one game, whatever. It's January. I think they need to get that mindset, and you promote that by sitting guys. That's how you do it. Like, telling them, hey, this game is not that important. Clay, you rest. Steph, you rest. KD, you rest. It seems like Steve is up to his psychological tricks again with this one.
Well, I tell you, I'd like to see a little Durant-Curry pick and roll, especially with Clay not out there as an option tonight. I think it'd be a good night to experiment with that a little bit more. And, you know, obviously coming out of that Memphis game, bigger than the loss was that on-court conversation between Draymond and Kevin Durant. When's the last time you think anybody screamed on a basketball court in Kevin Durant's face? I'm going to go back to middle school. I doubt it happened in high school. It didn't happen in college. And I don't think it's happened in the NBA up until that Memphis game. And I think things like that, with Draymond being right about what he was saying, with Kevin Durant acknowledging that Draymond was right and he didn't mind the, you know, boisterous presentation of information on the court, it's the reason why this is all going to work and end beautifully. I really do believe that that was one of the biggest moments of the entire year.
And I think the way Durant responded was very positive and encouraging.
Yes.
If you're a Warriors fan,
yes.
He said it wasn't a disagreement. He was right. Like, I agree with him. I might say, like, what, playing a pickup game with his brother might have been the last time somebody screamed at him on the court. I think Russ might have screamed at him, but I don't know if it was on the court like that, like in the middle of the action while the play is happening. Right? That had to be such a new experience for him, and for him to say, yeah, he's right. That was right. I messed up. Like, I should have done what they were saying. Like, it's that mindset that kind of permeates throughout all of the team that is why I think they'll figure this out. Like, even Draymond. Draymond is screaming and going off about moving the ball. Like, normally you see dudes go off like that because they want the ball, right?
Right.
Like, he passed me the ball. His whole beef is we want to move the ball. Like, even that in itself is a little bit crazy. You just don't see it. Like, a guy mad at his teammates for not running a pick and roll and going ISO. It's that kind of spirit that I think they'll figure it out.
Talking Warriors with Marcus Thompson, but again, along with being an author, this man, he covers it all now. So what do you think about the Raiders letting Bill Musgrave go when the offense was the strength of their team all year long?
So part of me was like, wow, look at JDR is willing to make the tough moves. I think that's critical that they're going to have to self-assess and not get too satisfied with going 12-4 and, like, really honestly look at the team and say, are we ready to compete with New England? Are we ready to compete for a Super Bowl and make those proper adjustments? For them making the move on Musgrave, for me, that seems like they're at least willing to self-analyze. It's easy to say, sixth best offense, seventh highest scoring. We were good on offense. Let's keep them. But the reality is, I think they should have been the top three offense. They should have been a top three score. So that was credited towards Jack Del Rio. But then he kept Ken Norton Jr. So, like, hold on. The defense was awful. Why didn't you fire that guy? And for me, it just says Ken Norton is his guy. The defense is really Jack Del Rio's. And so it's easy to blame Ken Norton for the defense, but that's on JDR as much as it is anybody else. And he's showing that by not taking the obvious route and getting rid of Ken Norton. So part of me is like, yeah, good for him. He's willing to make tough moves. And I think no matter what he does with Ken Norton, he's kind of showing he's ready to make the tough moves to make this team even better. It's just that keeping Ken Norton was probably the most obvious move, and he didn't make it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't quite add up. I appreciate the demonstration of power, but I just don't know if it was exercised the right way. Hey, want to say good luck with your book, Golden. By the way, all of a sudden, the topic of Golden and Golden Showers is trending on Twitter. It has nothing to do with your book, and that's good news, but hopefully you get a nice little bounce off of that, Marcus. I really, really hope
that
you do.
I don't want to be connected to Golden Showers. Or R. Kelly or nothing.
You're going to have to stay away from the president-elect and apparently Russian information specialists as well. Thank you very much, Marcus. Great to talk to you, man. We'll see you later tonight.
All right. Thank you.
Marcus Thompson.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.